Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Good Monday morning, everybody. This is Issel and Louis. We appreciate you spending part of your day with us. And, of course, the first hour of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. Louis, we have a 4 seed, 2 5 seeds, and a 9 seed in the final four. I guess this thing was as wide open as everybody was saying.
Sometimes and you know what, by the way, sit in it, everybody. You told me you wanted something wide open. You wanted a bunch of upsets. So sit in it. And if you don't watch the final four, shame on you. Everybody tells me, I love an upset. Oh, Cinderella, blah, blah. Okay, good. 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 Sit in it. Enjoy San Diego State FAU. Enjoy it. Good. Great. Enjoy it.
Did you get up on the wrong side of
the bed? No, I'm in a great mood, man. Whatever. No. Went to that game yesterday here in town.
Yeah, I heard that on the promo. What'd you have to pay for your ticket?
$4.
You're kidding.
So I got all. I took the three boys, so we got in with fees for under $20.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, I don't know if it was good for you or not. I heard that they asked for volunteers to repaint the rims after all those bricks that were going up in that game.
It was a terrible game, man.
Oh, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. Creighton, who averages 8 threes a game, didn't make one in the second half. Nada.
It was, so we were walking back to our car after the game, and a neighbor pulled up next to us, and he's like, what a great game. I'm like, no, that was a terrible game with an interesting finish. That's what that was. It was a bad game.
No, that's exactly what it was. I mean, I never saw so many point blank layups missed in my life. It was incredible. It was. Can anybody shoot the basketball in this game? But, Creighton, who relied pretty heavily through the year on the three-pointer, you know, that's what happens. You live by the sword, and they were 2 of 17 from three-point land.
I mean, you do need to give San Diego State credit. I mean, they defend like...
Do you think?
They defend like crazy, Dan. I mean, that's when you remember going in person, you do see things you don't see on television. And in their case, I mean, they defend like crazy. There were no, I mean, Creighton had maybe 2 open looks at 3. Otherwise, 15 of them were defended. I mean, I thought so. I think they're very,
yeah,
very
well, defensive. No, you're right. You're right. But I go back, what's the big guy's name? Cale Brunner or something like that?
Yeah, Cale Brunner. Yep.
Yeah, for Creighton.
Yeah.
Louis. He was missing shots not 2 feet from the basket.
Oh, I know.
2 inches.
You're right.
2 inches from the basket. And that had nothing to do with defense. That's just, you know, the big guy can't put the ball in the basket.
Well, and he had it, the bonehead play of the game. I mean, he got a flagrant for a very obvious hook that he just didn't need to do.
You're right.
That play, honestly, came back and totally bit them at the end because San Diego State makes the free throws. They had not made a free throw to that point. They were 0 for 3 from the line, and they go up there. He makes both, and then they get the ball, and they score again. And so it was a huge swing in that game that didn't need to happen. But I will say, Greg McDermott is out of his mind. He's out of his mind. Like, I thought Scotty D chirped at the refs a lot. Holy bleep. I mean, Bobby Knight is somewhere going, hey, buddy, settle down. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right, Greg.
I'm telling you, and later on, you want to talk about Coach Larriaga. This isn't for everybody.
No, it is not. Because
this will drive you to drink. I'm telling you, it's not fun. Oh, it's not fun. And I think you can look over all four games, and the thing, Louie, players can adjust to the officiating. You tell me you're going to call it loose, fine. I can deal with that. You tell me you're going to call it tight, okay, that's fine. I'll deal with it. But don't change. Don't be so inconsistent from one call to the next. Right. There was, the thing I hate about college basketball is this block charge thing.
Oh, it's so bad.
And you don't see that in the NBA. No. They have taken it completely out of the game, and I think it makes a college game terrible. You know, guys running around trying to take a charge, flopping, and so you watch this, and every time the offensive guy goes to the basket and there's contact, offensive foul. And then in the biggest moment of the FSU game, the big guy just lays, what's his name, Golden, the big Russian guy?
Yeah.
He lays out, I think it was Tomlin,
right,
on Kansas State. I mean, knocks him to the baseline.
Yeah.
And it's so incredulous that Golden stops, waiting for the whistle. I know this is an offensive foul, and there's nothing. And he goes, oh, okay, and dunks the basketball. That's the thing that drives coaches crazy, is when you're that inconsistent officiating these games.
I hear you. And then they call the foul at the end of the Creighton-San Diego game, and San Diego State game, and it's a foul.
Yeah.
But they didn't call it the whole game. I mean, there was that kind of contact the whole game.
100%.
So even,
then they have 1.2 seconds, and it takes them 10 minutes to figure out the game is over. I know. The officiating is making some of these games basically unwatchable.
My kids are like, wait, it's done? The game's over? Yeah, we're going home, boys. Let's go. Just try to figure it out.
What was hysterical was the look on the San Diego State coach when he's got his board up, man. He's going. He's got his whiteboard. And he's got his marker, and he's drawing, and he turns around, and everybody's jumping up and down.
Well, I think what they determined was it was at like point one, and you can't make a basketball play in point one.
What they did was they went, and they did a good job explaining it on TV. You wouldn't, being in the arena,
sure,
of course, you wouldn't have known this. But what they said was when the kid threw the ball the length of the court and it hit the player's hand, and there was some dispute as to which player.
Sure.
And so everybody is anticipating. They're over there trying to figure out how much time is left on the clock when the ball hits out of bounds and who touched it last. What they did was they said, well, the guy didn't start the clock on time.
Oh.
They took out an old-time stopwatch.
Wow.
A stopwatch. And clicked it when the ball hit the guy's fingers, whichever guy it was, and clicked it again when the ball bounced out of bounds and said, oh, no, that's longer than a second. That's longer than 1.2 seconds. Game's over. That's what they did.
Unbelievable. All right.
Oh, it's crazy. And, I mean, not only do they go to the monitor every other play, now they got to get out a stopwatch.
It was a terrible game, Dan.
Oh, it was awful. I sat right here and watched every minute of it.
That was so bad. My poor kids.
If those are two of the best eight teams in college basketball, we got a real problem, man.
Oh, man. That was so bad. I'm just watching San Diego State. I'm like, Alabama lost to this? To this? Oh, my God. It's gross. It's just gross. Now, to be fair, it was played in the Yum Center, where men's basketball this season has looked like that the whole year. So, just a continuation of hideous play that's been happening in the Yum Center. Speaking of not hideous play, just see U of L's women's team got bounced by a 41-point triple-double.
I watched every minute of it.
That girl can shoot.
We got through. By the way, I had a terrific day yesterday. Went to church with Scott and his family. Oh. Then Addison got back Saturday from her 2-week mission trip to Thailand. And Ben left last night to go to Florida for the weekend. So I got one home that I don't have to worry about now and have to worry about the other one. And had brunch with them and then watched the two basketball games and watched the U of L. I'll tell you what, Louis, that was kind of a ghost triple-double. You go back and look at the last two rebounds that they gave Ms. Clark, and I didn't see it. They had it on the screen. They had her points and her assists and her rebounds, and she might have been close to where the ball came off the rim,
yeah,
but she sure didn't corral it, and they gave her a rebound, I guess, because she tipped it out. So kind of a phantom triple-double. But I'll tell you what, that young lady was the most impressive player I saw yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Man, is she something.
Yeah.
And the little girl for U of L, she can play too.
Haley Van Lith is her name.
Yes. Yeah. Man, you give either one of those kids, those two girls are better shooters than anybody I've seen in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you give them first of all, they don't miss a free throw.
Right.
None of them miss a free throw. The girls jump up there and make them. But you give those girls, you give them a peek at the basket, and it's going in. It was a fun game to watch, even though U of L got beat.
Her name is Caitlin Clark, not to be confused with the Denver Nuggets centerman. So don't confuse a 40-point triple double there.
Man, can she play?
Yeah, remarkable numbers.
And she's not bigger in a minute. I mean, I think they said she's 6 foot tall. It's hard to tell, you know, on any basketball court,
sure,
because how big the people are. They say she's 6 foot tall, but I bet she doesn't weigh 120 pounds. Yeah. But man, can she play basketball?
At 11:15 today, we will have Theo Dorsey from ESPN West Palm Beach. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth, but I now have a new station that I'd like to go work for, Dan.
Really?
Just go be the ESPN West Palm Beach FAU guy.
Mm.
And then, you know, like, cover Gulfstream. Just do that. You know, just be done with it.
There you go. Yeah.
We will have your Final Four this weekend. We're your exclusive radio play-by-play home in Louisville for the NCAA tournament. Saturday, the Final Four. Coverage will start at 3:30. Here on 680, 105.7, 93.9 will join around 8 o'clock after Louisville baseball. And on Monday, we will have the national championship. Week from today, coverage at 6:30. And all of this, by the way, available on the app this year, which is awesome. And 93.9 will join at 7:30 after the Dan McDonald Show. So look for us on Saturday and on Monday if you were driving around. We will have those games for you. Coming down on the text line, someone who's been listening for a long time, wasn't Mike Pratt touting San Diego State early in the season?
Man.
Or before the season, I guess. Yeah. Huh. Okay. I don't remember that, but
no, because Mike passed away in June.
Right, but like maybe last year? Who knows? Wow, that would be someone who's listened a long time.
Yeah, maybe he was talking about him last year.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he was. I think he did talk about them.
Maybe the defensive, the way they play defense or something, yeah. Texter pointing out that the final foul in the game, quote, I think it was more the hand on the hip. It was also then extending the arm and pushing down, push the guy down. I get it was a foul. I'm not. That's not the debate. Isn't that it's a foul? It's just that happened 50 times in that game. I mean, like San Diego State did that on every possession.
No. You're 100%,
and that's how they defend.
And that's why. And that's why the coach went nuts.
Right.
You know, and then the guys on, you know, and I love Charles and Kenny and all those guys. And they were saying, well, you know, the ball was going to come up short. You can't make that call. You can't let the refs decide the game. The ball, it doesn't matter if the ball was going to come up short or not. It was a foul. But like you said, it hadn't been. For 39 minutes and 59 seconds, it hadn't been a foul. And then all of a sudden, it was. So that's the part that makes it hard to take.
Going down there yesterday reminded me how fun downtown can be when there's actually something worth going to the Yum Center for is going on. Like, it was impossible to get into restaurants. People were all over the place. There's traffic controls. I'm, like, navigating the streets with three kids, you know, like, trying to figure out when to cross, when to not cross streets, where to park. I mean, it's the best. It was great.
Yeah, that last one, and I hate that. That's one of my pet peeves, is when you can't find a parking place within a mile of where you're going. And, you know, if you don't get there early, or if you don't, you know, ballet someplace. That can happen.
I grew up going to Tiger games and stuff in Detroit, so I refused to pay for parking. And we used to, when we went to Tiger games, once they moved to Comerica, closer to downtown, out of Corktown, we would buy two Little Caesars pizzas and 2 6-packs of beer, and we would go down. And we would eat one of the pizzas and drink one of the 6-packs, and then hand a pizza and a 6-pack to a homeless guy and have him watch our car. Because that was cheaper than paying for parking. And it worked every single time. Dozens of Tiger games doing that. Dozens.
Oh, that's hysterical. And I bet when you got back, the 6-pack was gone, but there was pizza left over.
No, usually the guy was like perched watching. I remember one time we got back, car in front of us, car behind us broken into, not our car.
That's great.
Gotta buy that pizza, baby. Gotta understand your surroundings. That's what that was. So, oh man. All right. So speaking of surroundings, so something that happens on this show that does not happen on other shows is we get handwritten fan mail to this show a couple of times a month. This is literally someone's handwritten show note. And this is from a man named Avery. How about that? I will not say his last name on the air, but he literally was, Avery, yes, it's true, is how he signed his name. and it's about his favorite basketball player, Porky Vieira. Do you know who Porky Vieira is, Dan?
I don't.
I don't either. So we're going to talk about Porky Vieira in the 10:30 segment, because I'm not sure who that is, but I wanted to give Avery a shout out because there's a chance that he's listening right now. And it's written to the Dan and Louie Show, Radio 680 ESPN. That's how he addressed the envelope. So Avery, I got your letter and I'm looking at it and I appreciate you very much. I don't usually read these over the air. I should start doing that because we do get a lot. I mean,
well,
legitimately handwritten.
Nice. Yeah.
It is nice.
Yeah. First of all, I'm guessing that Avery is my age, because nobody younger than me writes letters anymore.
That sounds right.
But to sit down and take the time to write a handwritten note, I think that was terrific.
Yeah. So there you go.
Thanks, Avery.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it very much. So yeah, we have getting handwritten notes on stuff. Louie on the text line, 437-968 EPS job tech line. I went to a Tigers game once by myself while on business. I drove by the park twice. I never saw it because it recessed into the ground, LOL. Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, they tore down Tiger Stadium, unfortunately. that was one of those places that I don't know the best way to describe it, but they just kept adding on to an old building, so none of it fit together properly.
Old Tiger Stadium?
Yeah. And it was essentially like three or four different additions to get to like 45,000 seats. And I mean, it was only for baseball, and it was terrible in the best way. But it just had appendages added onto it over and over. It's a very strange place, but yeah.
That sounds like this one house where, like, the woman was told that if she didn't keep building and adding on to her house, like, she would die. And literally the day she just decides to stop building, she dies.
What?
Avery, yeah, do you have house. Any stories that don't include death?
I mean, I did sleep just on a one. Street corner once.
Texter asking what a handwritten note to the first replay would include. It would include notes about our show.
Yeah,
that's exactly. That's what that would be. Would be notes from your show.
It would say, I enjoy listening to your show, especially on days I can't tune in Issel and Louie because I can hear it all again on your show. That's what the note would say. Louie, isn't this a great week? This is one of my favorite weeks of the year.
You get baseball.
You have baseball, yep. Home opener for the Cubs on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the Arkansas Derby and the Florida Derby on Saturday. Oh, yeah. You've got the Final Four. This is a great week for sports fans.
There you go. It's a Dan Issel week, folks. That's what that is. What do you think the weather's going to be on Thursday in Chicago?
I just looked it up. 52 degrees and cloudy.
26 in the morning. Is this the Winchester Mystery House? Did a texter get that right?
Yes, it is.
Good Lord.
Look at you. Good for you, texter. You can stay.
Good for you.
You can stay.
Oh, man. Oh, the Winchester Mystery House. I'm not looking that up. I don't want that on my search history. I'm not doing it. Nope. By the way, we will have, if I haven't mentioned, Theo Dorsey. I did mention, yeah. Theo Dorsey, 11:15, he'll call in from West Palm Beach. He had the – did you listen to that sound, Dan?
Yeah.
So my wife and I do a very limited amount, but we do some work with a homeless outreach here in Louisville downtown. And just how casually the guy talked about being homeless struck me. I watched that clip like 15 times in a row.
And really?
Yeah, it struck me how casual he was about it, and just how much we just take for granted. We forget, you know, like a guy like his name is Brandon. You forget that Brandon, like, he was almost in Mississippi growing up, and now he's in the Final Four playing for Florida Atlantic in Boca Raton at the most beautiful campus.
You know, we do talking to Addie yesterday at brunch, and she was talking about the conditions. You know, when they were in town, she said that it was nice. It wasn't America, but it was nice. She said, but then we went to an orphanage out in the country, and she said, you just forget how blessed we are with how a lot of people in the world live. And she said, and these little kids are just so happy and full of joy. And she said, they got nothing. Mm. Nothing. We ought to be thankful for what we have.
All right, so tons of text coming down after I shared my parking in Detroit story. Texter, my buddy took me to a weekend series against the Yankees in Detroit in 2008. Man, I was at those games. So you and I were in the same place at the same time, Mammer, sir. And I didn't realize people tailgated baseball games at 7:30 in the morning for a noon game. They do. Good God, might have been the drunkest I've ever been before noon. That sounds like a Tigers game. Texter, speaking of baseball, have you guys talked at all about Kentucky? They just lost a 17-game win streak yesterday, but they're off to a 5-1 start in the SEC. They're 21-3?
I saw. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
And yesterday, when we went out to brunch, they had an SEC game on, Tennessee and somebody. They had it on the TV screen, and they put up the standings in the SEC. And I had no idea.
Man, oh man!
Kentucky, they lost, but in this graphic, they were 5-0, tied for the lead in the SEC, and 21-3.
I had no idea.
I had no idea they were there. I mean, you know, we being in Louisville and being a Louisville station, we know how well we need to get somebody on. Doesn't who does those games? Does
Sean
Doug
Moth.
Flynn?
Sean Moth does Louisville.
No, I don't care about Louisville. I'm talking about UK.
You see, it sounded like who, you were talking about Louisville.
Dick Gabriel, maybe? Let me find out. Let me do some research after the show. We'll get somebody on tomorrow with Kentucky baseball.
Sure.
You don't sound too excited.
I can't name a player on the team, Dan.
Well, neither can I, but they're 21-3.
They are 21-3, and they lost two games in the early part of the season. So that 17-game win streak is more emblematic of the rest of the year than the other parts. So, man, oh, man. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. Jim Larrañaga, 73, Dan, 74. We're gonna shame Dan for ageism here. Go ahead.
Don't forget my Monday morning moron.
We will do that at 11.
I've got a beauty today.
That'll lead into Theo Dorsey at 11:15. We'll talk about FAU. I'm trying to get a guest that's been traveling with each of the Final Four teams this week so that we can get a little bit behind the scenes with everybody. So we'll start with FAU today and Theo. And then reminder, first hour of the show, brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. Go find them on socials, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you might be. Great pictures from around the state. And, of course, as we get into the spring and summer, check out the Bourbon Trails, all of the great golf, and, of course, all the horse tracks around Kentucky as well. All of that available at KentuckyTourism.com. On the other side, Jim Larrañaga, 73, Dan Issel, 74. I got nothing. We'll talk about it next.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back. This is Issel and Louis, ESPN 680-1057, and of course the ESPN Louisville app. However you're listening this morning, thanks for spending some time with us. And as the man just told you, this hour of the show brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground, this is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
All right. Some reminders on some programming as well. Tomorrow we'll have Louisville baseball at Cincinnati, 5:50 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch on 93.9. And, of course, Louisville City FC, who played the worst game in their franchise's history on Saturday. They're back at it. Hey, Saturday night on the road at Sacramento Republic FC. So maybe they'll get back on the road and play better. Jeff Milby.
What happened to the boys in purple?
3-0 loss on Saturday. To a team that'll probably win 8 games this year. I mean, like just a pitifully bad El Paso Locomotive FC team.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, the train.
9:45 pregame, 10 o'clock kickoff. You can hear Casey Whitfield be very critical of the team here on 680-1057 and on the app. So there you go. All right. are we at the point, Dan, where the Final Four is a little like getting ready for the Kentucky Derby, where a bunch of horses win the prep races in upsets, and then there's one horse like Forte, and that's just UConn, and they're just really consistent, they're really good, and they're the team that ends up winning it?
Don't you think so?
It feels like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you watch what they did to Gonzaga, and, you know, I had Gonzaga go into the Final Four.
Sure.
But, I mean, they just dismantled Gonzaga. And the amazing part, Louis, was that Coach Few came up with this defensive idea that he wasn't going to play Timmy on Anoso, is that his name, I think? Yeah. And he was going to put him on to keep him out of foul trouble, and then he gets in foul trouble anyway.
Yeah.
And when he got his fourth foul barely into the second half, you knew that you knew what the outcome was going to be. I mean, UConn doesn't seem to have any holes. I mean, they're just a solid all-around team. And I saw an interview with Danny Hurley yesterday, and they asked him about, you know, what what went wrong during that stretch in the middle of the year? I mean, they were really good early. I think they were up to number two in the country. Then they lost like six out of eight. And they asked him what happened, and he said, you know, he said, we play in the Big East, and you're going to play good teams. Yeah, that's right. But one of those losses was at home to St. John's. And he said, I had to realize that I was, and again, it happens. You talked about the Creighton coach yesterday. Mm. You start doing things on the sideline that you don't even realize you're doing. and he said, I had to come up with, you know, settle down. Don't be yelling at the refs. Don't be yelling at the kids. He said, although I do still yell at the refs. And he kind of changed his sideline philosophy. And, man, they took off again. And they are easily the hottest team still left in the tournament.
I just feel good for UConn fans because that's a long-suffering fan base. They've only had four. They've only won four titles since 1999. I mean, that level of ineptitude, it's got a sting to have a team that bad as your favorite team and to finally make the Final Four like this. It's just got to feel so good for them, Dan. You know what I mean? Three different coaches. Seems to not matter who's coaching. Kevin Ollie won a freaking title.
What's the coach's name? Jim
Calhoun.
Calhoun, yeah. He was a great coach. I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing there, and they got some players. And then they hired Kevin Ollie, I think, one of their former players after that. And the thing went south, but Danny Hurley's got it going again. That is for sure.
Yeah. So you're not so Danny. You're not Bobby. You're not Bobby.
If they win this, they would. That would be five national championships
in 25 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Frankly, one of the great.
Wow.
Yeah, one of the great 25-year stretches in basketball history. Frankly, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. Those are RUP type numbers. Frankly. I mean, they really are. So, yeah, it's interesting. Did you read this piece on The Athletic about him wanting to quit basketball?
I did. And you can kind of understand why, can't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
did you ever have this moment?
No, I was the Bobby Hurley in this story.
Okay, got it.
My brother was the Danny Hurley in this story. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Bobby Hurley is 2 years older than Danny. And, of course, he was an All-American and a star and MVP of the Final Four at Duke and just a terrific player. And Danny had a great high school career, I think. Of course, they both played for their father in Jersey City. And I think he won a state championship. I think I read they were 30-1 or 31-1. And then he decided to go to Seton Hall. And, you know, didn't come close to having the college career. And at age 20, as Louis just said, at age 20, thought seriously about, you know, doing something else, getting out of the game.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. I think you meet people who are great at what they do. And once in a while, because of how they approach it previously, at least in this case, you know, I don't say it almost killed him, but, you know, it takes so much. You put so much in, and if you feel like you're not getting the same amount out, it can just absolutely fry you. So, yeah, it's an interesting piece. So this one's by Brendan Quinn. It was actually based in Michigan.
Yeah, and we tell you listeners all the time, if you're a sports fan and you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you know, what's wrong with you? They practically give it away, yeah. And they have great stories, great sports stories on The Athletic.
So Jim Larrañaga is doing a really good job coaching basketball, and you're doing a bummy sports talk radio show. What's that about, Dan?
I told you before. I mean, seriously, it's not for everybody.
Life, man.
I mean, I was one of those guys on the sidelines that, you know, I didn't recognize whoever that person was. I had the career I had because I played harder than the guys I was playing against. I mean, you know, I mean, and I had some talent. I could shoot the basketball. I was 6'9", but I was also the second shortest center in the NBA during my time. I just played harder. And that was the part of coaching that I could never understand, Louie. I mean, I coached guys that had 10 times the talent I had and didn't get nearly as much accomplished because they didn't play hard. And, you know, it's and Larry Onega, he's made those adjustments. I mean, he loves these kids, and I love the kids that played for me, too, most of the time. But he and he's got nothing else. If you read the story about him, right. He didn't know who Queen was until a couple years ago. And his wife said he's got no hobbies. She said, if he quit coaching today, I don't know what he'd do with himself. He's going to coach as long as he can stand up there on the sidelines, which I think is great. God bless him. But it's not for everybody, and it certainly wasn't for me.
Do you know what I learned from this piece, though?
What?
Sherry likes you more than Jim Larranaga's wife likes him.
Really?
Because Sherry was like, you know what? Well, come here, big boy. You know, you go ahead and retire. We'll spend some time together. We'll hang out. We'll get a house in Denver. And Jim Larranaga's wife is like, I won't let him retire. You work 15-hour days. I don't want to see you. I don't want you to have hobbies. I don't want to hang out. But they've been married 52 years. That actually reminded me of you. I think they probably got married around the same time that you and Sherry did. So.
No, that's I've lost count, but it's somewhere around that. I think
you're at the point where counting doesn't matter.
No, either for anniversaries or birthdays.
I agree with you.
I think, let's see, in June we'll be married 54 years in June.
Man. Did you do something big for your 50th?
What did we do for our 50th? I can't remember.
Oh. Well, this summer you will have to put up with me being gone for a week. It'll be my 20th. And so I have promised my wife.
Wait a second. You were just gone for a week.
Yeah, I'm going to take 2 weeks off this year, Dan. Settle down.
I didn't know you could do that.
You don't have anything to take time off of. You don't have anything to get away from.
Yeah, I don't work 15-hour days. I work 2-hour days.
That's like a 3-hour day. You read the articles that I sent you, at least. So, if you take time off, you're just going to sleep in. I mean, that's it. Oh, man.
I'll be taking a week off, too, this summer.
Jeez.
That means we'll have sound on the sound sheet, Dan.
Thumbs. That was for you.
I didn't even put the word sound on the sheet today. Didn't even bother.
Yeah, well, we have nothing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. what you get.
The thing I didn't know is that Avery doesn't know how to cut sound. That's what I learned today.
I do a great job at cutting sound.
Notice she's not editing my lookies at all anymore.
Yeah, she must be cutting it for the afternoon show because she ain't cutting nothing for us.
I edited the lookie. It aired.
Oh, man.
It did. But, the Diener breaks are so long that I just, sometimes I only throw
Diener
it into one.
The breaks are so long.
Well, they have to be long to pay Diener's salary. All right, let's get back to the basketball. We talked about what a bad game Creighton and Lord. San Diego State was.
Yep.
This I thought this Miami Texas game was the exact opposite. I really enjoyed watching this game. I thought it was, of course, it's nice when you have a kid that doesn't miss a shot. Jordan Miller goes 7 for 7 from the field. And 13 of 13 from the free throw line. If I was Jordan, after the game, I'd get Larranaga aside and say, Coach, what's the deal with me only getting 7 shots? I didn't miss one. Come on. These other guys are getting 12. I got 7. But I thought the turning point in this game, Texas was up 13 in the second half. And to me, the turning point was their defense got better, But I think their defense got better because it fed off of their offense. And Louis, a third into the second half, Miami realized we're not making any outside shots.
Correct.
I mean, they had 2 3-pointers for the game. They said, we're going to play basketball. We're going to take the ball to the hoop. They put it in Wong's hands, and we're going to take it to the hoop, and we're going to take good 2-pointers. We're going to get to the free throw line, and we're going to come back. And as a result, they didn't. I don't know if they shot a 3-pointer in the second half. I know they didn't make one, but they get to the free throw line 32 times and make 28 of them. And that was the difference in the ball game. And it was because, and I really enjoyed that comeback, because they were playing basketball the way I think you're supposed to play it.
It is the opposite of what happened at the Yum Center yesterday.
Yes.
They just kept
yes.
chucking. And
yep.
Miami made an adjustment. And if it was Larry Yeager or anybody else, I mean, good on them. But, yeah, you're right. It was the opposite of you know what? I paid $4 a ticket to go to that game. That was a $4 game.
Exactly.
$4 execution.
Did you this just shows where my life is. I was watching the LSU women's game.
Sure, okay.
And what's the LSU coach's name?
Is that Kim Mulkey?
Yeah, Kim Mulkey. And they interviewed her, you know, one of those things where they make the coaches come out and answer 2 questions during the course of the game. And she was, if I was watching this game on TV, I'd turn it off. And neither one of those two teams could throw the ball in the ocean. I think the two of them were a combined like 2 for 27 from the 3-point line. But she was brutally honest. She said, if I was watching this game, I'd turn it off.
Can you tell me who's in the Final Four of the NIT, Dan?
I can't and don't care.
So theirs was about as crazy as the NCAA tournament. We'll have the NIT for you, by the way, tomorrow. Semifinals, 6:45 here on 680-1057 and on the app. And then the championship game is Thursday night, 9:15.
So 9:30. Do they still go to Madison Square Garden?
It is in Las Vegas this year. They're going to move it around.
Ah, okay.
I heard Bobby V talking about that the other day, and I agree with him. I think that needs to be in the Garden. That's an incentive to advance in the NITs to go play in the Garden, I think.
Yeah, I think I would argue that we don't need to have it any place.
North Texas and Wisconsin at 7, and Utah Valley and UAB.
Not in the tournament for a reason. Not in the tournament, the NIT.
So who you got, North Texas and Wisconsin? Who you got? North Texas, a 1.5-point favorite.
Really? I'll go with those stinking Badgers.
And then Utah Valley and University of Alabama Birmingham campus, UAB at 3.5.
Wow. Did that Final Four just make my point?
Just fell into place, Dan. It's all there.
Utah Valley. I didn't even know there was a Utah Valley till Kentucky played them in the preseason a few years ago.
Can you name their mascot, Dan?
Utah Valley?
Yes.
The Beehives.
It's a good guess. A really good guess. They are the Wolverines. Mm-hmm. Can you name North Texas's mascot?
Nope.
They are the Mean Green. How about UAB?
I might have known that.
Yeah. I think you know UAB, right?
Who?
UAB.
University. Nope.
The Blazers. They have that dragon as the mascot. All right. Well, there you go. That's the NIT. We'll have it for you here Tuesday and Thursday on ESPN 680-1057. Your hope for everything hoops. How about that?
Man, I bet those ratings will be off the hook.
And we are your hope for the Reds this year as they careen toward 100
but
losses.
But I guess anybody who would carry Rick Pitino's St. John's press conference would carry the NIT. I'm sorry.
Reds Pirates on Sunday at 1 o'clock here on ESPN 680.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
If you wanted to see who's going to light up AAA this year, check out the Reds and Pirates on Sunday. All right. Bracket challenge. Do you have access to our bracket challenge over there, Avery? Like, see, like, if how many, like the top bracket, how many teams in the Final Four they have? Because I could see in a world where you thought like UConn was really good, they could get to the Final Four. You like Miami's guards like I did, they get to the Final Four, that kind of thing. Like I could see those two, but how you would have SDSU and FAU in the Final Four as well.
Yeah,
pretty hard.
No way. I won. Of course, there's only 11 entries, but I won the family pool on Saturday night. That's how bad our family pool was.
So, what carried you over? Was Gonzaga getting to the Elite Eight, and then did you have Texas?
Well, what carried me over was that I had a bunch of teams in the Sweet 16. I had, what did I have, 16, 12? I had 10 teams in the Sweet 16, and I had 1, 2, 3, 4. I had four teams in the Elite Eight. I have no teams in the Final Four.
We just got a spate of texts. Texter, speaking of Miami, that's exactly how they beat IU and Houston. Better athletes and amazing shooting, plus having teams reside to shooting threes because they don't know how to defend. Miami's the only thing that I've gotten right in this tournament is I just really like their guards and I thought they could go on a run. But I had them losing to Xavier in the round of eight, which obviously did not happen. Texter, Ken Griffey Jr. is going to light it up for the Padres. Texter, Dan's on one. He's officially hit get off my lawn status. Texter, I believe UAB took the Cats down first or second years ago, if that jogs my memory. I can't remember that game with UAB. I think Mike Davis was there before he took the Detroit job for a couple of years after he was at IU. But oh man, what a day, Dan! These Final Four.
Did you see that the coach Dusty May?
Okay.
The coach of Florida Atlantic.
Yep.
Did you see he was a ball boy for IU?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Davis was an assistant coach there when he was a ball boy at IU.
There you go. Well, IU connection. Yeah, I think he had a quote about Bob Knight, and people got mad at him for saying something nice about Bob Knight. So there you go. Do you like that the Mavs are terrible since they acquired Kyrie?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do.
I saw that and I was like, I got to put that on because Dan's going to love the fact that Luka is out of his mind. Do you know what's ironic about this actually is there's a chance the Mavericks lose Luka because of this move.
It could.
Like it angers him to the point that he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. The Mavericks are 7-13. Now, remember, they acquired Irving. They were right on the cusp of not being in the play-in games. Remember, they were about sixth, maybe seventh when they got Kyrie. And so they got him to make sure that they moved up in the playoff standings and weren't involved in that one-game play-in thing. And now they're completely out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch Kyrie Irving, and he may be Louis the most talented player in the NBA. And I would not have him on my team because it's all about him, and every place he goes, he's a cancer. I mean, he won an NBA championship in Cleveland, playing with LeBron, but he wasn't the main guy, so he won it out. So he goes to Boston and he says, I'm going to be here for the rest of my career. And he was there until he became a free agent. And then they put together this supposedly super team in New Jersey. And I know they had a lot of injury problems, but they couldn't beat anybody. Now he goes to Dallas and they're 7-13 since he got there. I wouldn't touch this guy at all. I wouldn't want him anywhere close to my team.
It is... You know, early in the year, people were screaming that Xavier Wheeler needed to not be in the backcourt for Kentucky as much, and they needed to play Kaysen at the one. And they were right. And everyone watched the Kyrie Irving trade happen and went, it's not going to work. And they were right. Once in a while, sports are real simple. This is a case of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, and isn't it hard to believe that a guy that talented makes your team worse instead of better?
Not just like way worse. I mean, considerably worse. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's incredible. And they gave up a bunch to get him.
And then it's not in this story, but I read something over the weekend where he went after the Dallas fans. The Dallas fans were booing him. They were getting beat by like 20 points by the Charlotte Hornets at home. And he comes out with some amazing, instead of saying, you know what, the fans have a right to boo us, we stink, and you know they paid big money to watch us not play worth it. Instead of coming out and being honest, he goes after the fans and tells them how hard it is to play in the NBA and that they could practice from now till doomsday and not be good enough to play in the NBA. What a horse's patoot this guy is. When I'm done talking, you're supposed to say something.
I'm enjoying the term patoot.
Well, that's because I can't say the real word.
Well, I don't think you would use that word anyway.
No. Well, I would say horse's patoot. First, Thumbs, do you know what a patoot is?
Yeah, it's the rear end.
Oh, man.
I can't believe they
pay me. What else you want to talk about, Louis?
I can't believe they pay me for this. First hour of the show brought to you by our friends, for some reason, at KentuckyTourism.com. Make sure you check them out on the socials that I mentioned. And, of course, as you get your spring and summer plans together, make sure you check them out as well. All the golf, all the bourbon trails, all those retirement horse farms, maybe even some restaurant recommendations around the state as you check out the Bluegrass State at KentuckyTourism.com. On the other end, we'll visit with Buckler Farms and their Monday Morning Moron. Dan will give it to us next here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it,"
but then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist,"
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.